Good morning to you all. You were called and you responded and you were chosen to be part of the leadership of God's government in the world tomorrow. And you are obeying God right now. Would you turn over to Deuteronomy 14, please? Deuteronomy 14, and we'll start in verse 22. Deuteronomy 14, 22. And you shall truly tithe of all the increase of your gain that the field produces year by year. Verse 23. And you shall eat before the Eternal your God in a place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and of your new wine and of your oil, of the firstlings of your herd and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And it goes on to explain that the journeys to far to take our produce, we change it into money. The operative word is learn to fear. We are here to learn. It's a feast of learning, a feast of words, not just physical food. But now if you are going to teach a new craft to someone or your child, how do you teach? How do they learn? Well, you talk to them, you explain to them in words, and then sometimes you have to explain what the words mean. And that's exactly what our Heavenly Father is doing to us. He explains the words, and then we have to absorb them. Yesterday, Mr. Belty mentioned a couple of interesting ways about words. He said, bring words into our mind's eye. I thought that was very good. And then create in our mind. That's what God is doing, is creating in our mind through the words what he wants us to know. Words are very important to God. We think, we plan, and we work in words. And you will never rise above your words. You will never rise above the words you know. Example, you want to be a mechanic. If you don't know what the words mean, the parts and the graphs, and you aren't a mechanic. Or if you want to learn anything else, if you want to learn to cook, you have to learn what the words mean. Because I can open up a cookbook and it tells you to do this or that. I don't know what that means. So you don't want me to cook for you. But you will never rise above your words. And words are so important that in the future, God will give us a pure language or restore to the people pure languages we read in God's word. Words will be used to teach in the kingdom of God. You will use your words to instruct people in the world tomorrow. God says, your eyes will see your teachers, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way to walk. Very much like the Holy Spirit does to us right now. You know you're doing something, and the Holy Spirit tells you, don't do it. Don't get involved in that. And hopefully you listen. Or some situation will come up, and the Holy Spirit says, you should help. You should do this, and hopefully you do. That's what the Holy Spirit does now. The only problem is we're physical, and we can override those words the Holy Spirit gives us. We can override it and do it anyway. That's usually when we get in trouble. The first point I'd like to make is words are tools. The right words can soothe and comfort. You don't even have to touch physically the other person. The right words can soothe and comfort someone. Words can teach, inspire, and guide us. You can recall good advice. Stay out of trouble. Also, words can turn you red with embarrassment. No one touches you. They just mention something isn't buttoned or some part of your clothing isn't just right. You just turn red. Just words. Stomach can turn with horror. You read some of the news, mother beating her child or something, and it's just words. And words have engaged some that they had wanted to kill. So words are tools and can be used for good or bad. A knife can kill, but a knife in the hand of a surgeon can save a life. A hammer can destroy, or it can build. Words are so important, the returning Christ has as one of his names, the Word of God. You wouldn't name yourself something unless it was very important. One of Christ's names is that. We have 8 days to be hearing those words of life, and we have 8 days to be using those tools. There's a story of a little town had a wise man lived in the end of the village, and the people, when they had to make a big decision, they'd go talk to the wise man. He's been around a long time, had good advice, and a couple of teenagers, ruffians, just couldn't stand that. They always wanted to trick the man, so he couldn't use the words of wisdom. One day, one of those ruffians got his buddies together and said, "I found it. I found out a way that we can stop that wise man." He said, "I caught a bird. I'm going to put that bird behind me. And we're going up to the wise man. And I'm going to ask him what I have behind my back. And if he says, somehow he's lucky to know I have a bird, I'll say, is it alive or is it dead? If he said it's alive, I'll squeeze it. And I'll bring it around, it'll be dead. Of course, if he says that it's dead, I'll bring it around alive." So they rushed up to the wise man, called him out. "Wise man, come out. What do I have behind my back?" Wise man said, "You have a bird, my son." "Is it alive or is it dead, wise man?" I've noticed there's a few older wise-looking people around here. "What's the answer? Is it alive or dead, wise man?" Wise man said, "It's as you will, my son. It's as you will." We have to learn to use our tools that well. Second point is words are food. Without physical food, we would die physically. Without spiritual words, you will die spiritually. You probably have noticed that. If somebody, for some reason of your acquaintance in the church, just quit studying, just quit coming, pretty soon they just quit. Physical food goes into our body and becomes part of us. This thumb was food at one time. And the spiritual world, the spirit has to come into us, into our mind, so that's how we are. That our minds literally think a certain way. We react a certain way. We worship who and what in a certain way, because it's us. It has to become part of us. It brings you out. It separates you from the rest of mankind. Deceived by false words, you come to the feast to hear the words of life. The world has a fake way, a fake bunch of words. And they don't internalize those words, but we must internalize the words. Another story, analogy. Part of this is true. Part's a story. Don't miss the lesson. I grew up in a town that was divided. What I mean by divided is actually my brother and I, my parents lived, the town was divided. On one side there was Catholics and the other side there was Protestants. In fact, our house was right on the border. Of course, the Catholics went to their Catholic schools, their Catholic churches, and quite often the Catholic business places. On the other side, mostly Lutherans, Baptists, they went to the public school and they went to their churches. Well, one day, without knowing it, a real estate man knew it, but he didn't tell a Lutheran, and he sold him a home 2 blocks into this all-Catholic neighborhood. And at that time, on Friday, the Catholics could only eat fish. But this man's favorite thing was to get out his grill on Friday night and cook a great, big, thick steak. And the aroma filled the neighborhood. And so the neighbors gathered at the house next to his. "What are we going to do? We just can't live this way. What are we going to do?" The man lived next door. He's a nice guy. "Let's go over and talk to him." So they started visiting him. Pretty soon they had the priest over there visiting him. Pretty soon the priest had the man going to church. He had to go through 10, 12 lessons to become a Catholic. He went all the lessons. He heard it all, learned it all. And the great day came. Sunday morning, he was in front of the church. And the priest had a bowl of water, put his fingers in, sprinkled them in. He said, "You were born a Lutheran. You were raised a Lutheran. You are now a Catholic." Now he's a Catholic. And everybody thought their problems were over with. Until Friday. The aroma filled the neighborhood. And they start gathering at this man's house again. "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Same man said, "Let's go over and talk to him. He knows better than this." So as they were, the group was just coming around the back of the house. There the man stood over his grill, over his steak, and he had a cup of water. "You were born a beef. You were raised a beef. You are now a fish." He did not internalize a thing. Please remember, we have to internalize it. It has to be part of us. Words are very important. The words of God are why you were called and invited here. We should hunger and thirst for words of God. I'll leave you with one last question. Notice I did not say in conclusion. Because do you know what it means when a minister says in conclusion? Nothing. Not a thing. So I'll leave you with a question. Would you, as a parent, mother, father, grandchildren, would you want your children to be good students? Just fair or fail? You'd want them to be good A and B students, wouldn't you? What do you think our Heavenly Father wants us to be at this feast? A students, to learn those words, to have this, enjoy this feast of words, this feast of learning. I hope you all get A+.